Mmm, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
You're listening to The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. Over here at Studio Jeans, doing it at your mom's house. I'm Ryan Sickler. Look, I know this hair is fucking ridiculous, all right? This is my quarantine coif right here, all right? We have been deemed essential, so I'm going to continue to podcast. But I am following the rules by not getting this motherfucking haircut, all right? And I don't know where it's going to go. I've done so many different things with it. People always say, why don't you grow out your hair, Ryan? This is fucking why, right here. This is why I don't grow my hair out. It's going to go back to short as soon as I can cut this shit. But in the meantime, you got to deal with it. I got to deal with it, all right? If you haven't been listening in the last couple weeks, I know lots going on out there. First of all, I hope you're all safe. I hope you're healthy. I'm right in the middle of this thing with you all. All of us are. We're keeping it tight here at YMH. And I just want to say, thanks. I got a nice message. That hair looks good from here, bud. I appreciate that. They all wear glasses. I hope you're safe and healthy. I hope you're doing the right thing by yourselves, and we'll get through this shit soon. But in the meantime, I'm going to keep coming at you with episodes. We are moving the show to my YouTube channel June 1st. All right, in the description for this show and at the end of this show, you can click straight over to subscribe to my YouTube channel. It's just R. Sickler, youtube.com/R. Sickler. Go there. I'm going to start the Patreon soon. I won't charge anybody till that thing is up, and that's coming very soon as well. And we're going to have a new studio. I think you guys are going to really like what we're doing here. I'm going to continue the professionalism that is YMH here. I promise you I'm not putting some fucking Little Mermaid shower curtain up behind me. All right, we're going for it, okay? And these are crazy times right now. The Night Pants Nation. Thank you. Okay. I want you to know I can't work right now, and motherfucking Night Pants are helping me out right now. Look, Night Pants Nation. Night Pants Nation. Send those pics. Let me spin around in my chair. Send those pics. I'll share them out there. Stay in your night pants. Stay comfy. I love you all for supporting. That's where all the merch is and all that stuff. RyanSickler.com. Go to the store. Let's see. That's the Patreon. That's the YouTube. Learner's Permit will be coming soon. It's in post right now, cutting up some episodes for that. I'm going to be putting a lot of stuff up on the YouTube, some stand-up clips coming as well. All right, that is all the 411 up top. Now, you know what we do here? We highlight the lowlights. One of my favorite things to do is laugh at the pain, and this is the storytellers. Let me say that again. These are the stories behind the storytellers, y'all. Today's storyteller, keeping it in the YMH family. Annie, y'all. Annie is here. Going by Annie.
Thank you, Ryan, for having me.
Come on.
Appreciate you. It's good to be here, man.
It is good to be here. I'm very excited. Before we get into anything, please plug whatever you'd like.
Yes. So we just started back on stream. So I'm doing twitch.tv/AnnieKravitz for streaming. And on Instagram, you can still find me, Instagram. /AnnieKravitz. That's about it. ENNYKRAVITZ.
So exactly like Lenny Kravitz,
exactly
without the L.
Exactly like Lenny Kravitz, except I don't take L's.
There it
is. I'm just kidding. Lenny Kravitz is cool. I'm just playing, man.
Lenny Kravitz will take that dick right out of his pants on purpose. That one was an accident. He'll take that shit out on purpose and smack you with it. Take that L. Take that D.
Oh, man. I got to get some of those night pants, dude.
Dude, get some night pants. I'll get you some night pants.
Those night pants are dope, man.
Well, I first of all, let me say, you've been all of you have. This transition's crazy, and you've all been such a huge help, so thank you very much. You've been a big part of that as well. And the Dav, everybody here has been fantastic. And you're like one of those characters. You, first of all, you go by one name, and you, but you, what, the, I'll tell you when you resonated with me, because you were always quiet and everything, and it was it was during Tom's suicidal Su Wu phase.
Oh God!
And
man.
It's you spoke up. You said you're gonna die. We're all gonna die. Yeah. And when I said, "Hold on, everybody, shut up. Let's listen to what he's got to say over here," and I was like, "What are you talking about?" You're like, "I'm telling you." And it wasn't 10 hours later that the LAPD called and said, "Hey, you need to knock that shit off." And I was like, "God knows what the fuck he's talking about,
dude." He was selling literal gang apparel. It wasn't a joke. It was bloods would
say it.
They would see that shirt and they would buy it.
Everybody else out here is Su Wu and everything. I'm like, let's listen to Annie. Let's listen to the one voice over here in the corner of this office.
I do. I barely speak up, but that was one of the times I'm like, guys. There's not many black things that I know. Like I told Tom a long time ago, and I meant it. Tom is blacker than I am, so he should have known, to be honest. But he leans into these jokes and he plays these games, man. But yeah.
Well, if you got one, you got a collector's item, and I would not wear that shit anywhere.
No, that's the thing too. That's the funniest thing is that even if he did say he did sell them, and a ton of people had them. They would never be able to go to his shows. Imagine security guard, you coming up with Su Wu in the blood font with the bandana font and saying, I want to go into this club. And like 20 of you show up. There's no chance you're coming in. No. Go home. No way.
And coming from a guy that's wearing a Friends t-shirt right now, I mean, they'll let you in anywhere with that. They'll let you in anywhere with a Friends t-shirt.
Cultural appropriate a little bit with this shirt.
Well, that's when I was like, this guy seems like an interesting person. I mean, you called it so quick, and you were so serious, too. You didn't care about everybody's laughing around. You were just looking at me, and I was like, oh, he's passionate about this right here. We should be scared.
I'm like, Tom, maybe this is the joke you don't want to lean into. You know? Maybe we should just...
I love it.
We should just throw this one aside.
So, you've got an interesting upbringing. Let's start with, are you from here, born and raised L.A.?
I was born in LA. I was raised in South OC, and it sticks to the theme. I was born a black man and I was raised as a white woman. So
listen, I'm excited to talk about this because this is exactly my stepson situation. So I have a firsthand view of all this.
So I grew up in LA for maybe 4 years.
Like, you didn't really play sports, but you could tell me a good Chardonnay.
Look,
hey, Annie, what's a good Chardonnay?
like Tom can name every member on the Wu-Tang Clan,
including the Replacements.
Include all, yes, of them. All of them. I'm telling you, he's a black man in a white man's body. Mm-hmm. I'm the opposite. You want to know every name on this shirt? We got Monica Chandler.
You're giving the character name.
Rachel, Ross. I don't know the actor names. We got Phoebe and Joey. I know all of them.
That's
okay,
correct.
All of them.
Yeah,
I've seen all
correct.
The seasons. It's that's my life. So I grew up in L.A. super short, and then I immediately went to South O.C., where I went in a school of basically 4,000 white kids, and I was one of the like 50 black kids.
Okay, so were your parents together at that time?
No. I mean, that is one of the fun parts about being colored. No, my dad left super early. It was,
Now, at first I thought you were pointing to your watch, but I realized you were pointing to your skin.
Yeah, it's a common theme. He did it, man. He went to get the milk. Never came back. What can I say? But, no, they weren't together. I was raised only by my mom, so... That's all I grew up knowing. I knew friends. I knew country.
What's your mom? Yeah, Tom, what's your mom like? What's her name?
She, Liz. Elizabeth.
Liz. Okay, yeah. So and Liz she, is raising. Are you an only child?
Only child.
Okay, so tell me about what Liz is like. What music? You said country. She like country music?
She like country. I grew up listening to Alan Jackson, Shania Twain. That don't impress me.
Garth?
Much.
Did
that
you grow up listening to Garth?
I actually did not listen to Garth. Okay. I didn't. It's... I mean, Nadav always makes fun of me for the people that I don't know. I literally didn't know who Garth Brooks was until this.
How about finding out who Garth Brooks is at YMH?
Now I'm like, oh, he's a serial killer. When people...
Where are the bodies at?
Yeah, so that's... That's it. But she was as
what'd she do for work?
She started with what was it? She's always been in the transportation industry, so she's renting out equipment, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of got into that a little bit, but she's the as white as a white person can be. She is that person. That's my mom. So that's how I grew up. I didn't know the Wu-Tang Clan until I was like 17 years old. I didn't know none of that stuff. But I was split because sometimes I would go to my dad. So that was
where was he?
He is in LA, or he was in West Hollywood. He owned actually, that's another thing. So growing up in South Orange County, when I said that my dad owned the club Dublin's, no one knew what that was.
Your dad owned Dublin's?
My dad owned Dublin's.
Back in its heyday?
Sunset.
Oh, on Sunset. You know about the stand-up up there, right?
I did not. When I came here, I learned about that connection when, oh, God, who was it that came here? Oh, I forget the comedian that was here, but...
Dane Cook got it.
Dane Cook, that's
right. Oh, yeah, I was about to say. That's where right. He really popped and blew up. And I mean, look,
that's right.
I got here in the late 1900s the first time, and I'd roll down Sunset. It's like 97. And that was when it was Carlos and Charlie's. I'm sorry, I'm wrong about that. This was 94 because it was the Northridge earthquake. I came back in 97. 94, it was CNC, Carlos and Charlie's.
Okay.
And they used to have girls. You know how that roof came down? They used to have girls, go-go girls, dance on the roof, three or four. And while there started being accidents, fender benders out in front of it, and the city's like, you got to knock that shit off. You can't be having tits and ass up here on the goddamn roof when people are driving by. Get the titties inside. And then it became Dublin's. Right. And that upstairs room was the best comedy room in the city on that. I think it was Tuesday night. I might be wrong about that. But, man, it was fucking crazy. And to get to perform there was like... holy shit. I got one set there and it was just phenomenal.
It's wild. I never knew. I mean, I was such a little kid. I did always see celebrities there, but I never knew. I mean, they were just people to me. Like they were just, right. I knew them by their first name and I thought I would think that I knew them because they would treat me like a kid. So everyone would treat me like I was just a little boy because I was. And so like a disconnect early on, I remember I didn't know that the music, when I used to listen to rap music and they used to bleep words, I always thought that that was like not real. I thought they just put it in there for like the character. Like it wasn't actually bad words that would come out. And so my mom would tell me that I couldn't listen to that music because they were bad words. And I was like, no, you don't, like I know Eminem. He would never say those things. Like you don't understand, mom. It's not real that they say that. So, yeah, I had no idea.
She's like, put that Tanya Tucker on. Shut the fuck up.
And, so I didn't know. I mean.
So are you playing sports growing up? Are you just going everywhere with your mom? Like, were you that kid? Because I watched this with. So now let me make it clear. Because people are like, oh, you're married. I call my stepson because when I went to pick him up at school one day, this is when he was in elementary school years ago, I walk in and people always, because I would pick him up all the time, and all his kids were like, who is that? And he's like, that's my stepdad. And he's like, are you my stepdad? And I was like, we could talk about that. He's like, he's my stepdad. And so I just call him my stepson. We were engaged. We never, you know, promised each other the future or anything, you know, but we are stepdad, stepson. So I am single, ladies. Look at his hair.
Hey.
And I love him. And I've watched that, like, growing up, he was that young kid that was around adults a lot. And so there was one time, I remember this, we were at a party and I'm watching him through a window and he's out there talking to an adult and he's probably... he's 16. He's probably 8 or 9, maybe 8. And he is holding himself. I go, look at your son. Look, you should be proud of it. Look at him. He's out there. I would have been, at that age, I'd have been like, you know, I don't want to talk to you and shit. Where the fuck's everybody I know? He's right out there handling himself. And I was like, that's pretty impressive to be, you know, that young kid around the older people. And, you know, there's always that one person that wants to talk to you. And sometimes you like them. And sometimes you're like, can this motherfucker please shut up? You know, yeah, okay, I'm the only kid here. Great.
I get it. I'm young.
Yeah. So was it a little bit of that growing up, too? Like, were you with your mom a lot?
I mean, I grew up when I was with my mom, they were polar opposites. When I was with my dad, I basically lived in the nightclub because he was.
So you're just at Dublin's all the time.
I was at Dublin's. I was at the bar. I'd be talking to girls and buying them drinks that I didn't even know what they were like. I just knew that my dad told me what to do. He wasn't like I was doing it behind his back. He was like, son, whenever a girl comes to the bar, I want you to say bartender. And I knew all the bartenders' names.
So how old are you?
Joey. Oh
God. 12.
Less.
Yeah.
It was like 8. And I'd be at the bar and I'd be like, yo, bartender, get this girl a drink. And he'd make her a drink, and she thought that was super cool. I wanted to be a DJ after a while because I used to get the girl. The only thing I knew how to talk about to girls was what music was hot. So I would tell them, I know the DJ, and I could, play you whatever song you want. And so, whatever. I'd get their song by the end of the conversation. Then I would go to the DJ and be like, hey, man, could you, fit this song into the mix or whatever? And so he fit it in. And every time it was, it was so dope to see the girl that I knew was way too, nothing that I could ever do anything with. It was so dope to see she'd be like, oh my God, you did my song or whatever. That's what it was like in the club. But aside from that, outside of that, when I was with my mom, I was crazy sheltered, mega, mega sheltered. And I feel like when a lot of people say that they're sheltered, I feel like they don't get it. Because, now people are starting
to understand. Right now, everybody knows. Yeah, right now, everybody knows the fuck shelter in place is.
Y'all are currently feeling my entire childhood with my mom. I could not go outside. I could not have friends. And my mom, oh, man, if she's listening, she's going to feel so sad about this. But when I used to always, look outside, I see the kids having fun. Mom, look at those kids. They're smiling. They're laughing. I want to smile. Why can't I do those things and go outside? Why can't those kids come over? And she used to say, son, the reason why those kids are outside are because they're throwaway kids.
And I'm like, throwaway kids?
I'm like, what does that mean? And she said, it's because their families don't love them.
Holy shit, really?
Their moms and their dads don't love them enough to keep them inside. So they just say, go. I don't want to have anything to do with you. So that's why they're outside. It's not because they're having fun. They're pretending to have fun.
They're pretending to have fun.
That was my childhood. Man.
It sounds like a country song. Throwaway Kids by George Jones.
Throwaway Kids, dude. That's what
Damn,
I always knew.
I've never even heard that term before.
I don't think anybody
But
has.
I'm one of them. That's what honeydews are. They're throwaway people. Yeah.
That's
exactly what they are. Oh, this right here? Let me just throw that in the trash.
That's what I grew up knowing. I thought that to stay inside meant that your family loved you. So that's what I did. I stayed inside all the time. No sports, no nothing like that. I went to school. I got great grades. I went home.
And how often at that age were you bouncing back and forth? Like weekends or here and there? Like what would you say? Was it consistent?
Definitely not consistent. It was maybe a summer every now and then, maybe every other summer.
You were in Dublin during the summer too, huh? Yeah. When everybody was out there.
And it'd be a month straight of just being at the club, seeing what was cool with the club.
Got an education. You probably should have been sheltered on the other end. should have been locked in the house after a month at Dublin's.
Absolutely. You should have. I wish I prepped some of the pictures that I found of myself back then. My dad used to dress me in full Crip gang attire.
Nuh-uh.
And bring me to the club like that. Nuh-uh. I had the blue bandana on with I basically could have worn
A little Pac.
I could have worn the opposite of what Tom tried to put on.
Yeah.
It would have
right.
just said, on it with the blue bandana lettering. And I was just sitting at the bar, just ordering people drinks. That was I definitely if I grew up with my dad instead of my mom, majority, I'm pretty sure I'd be in prison right now. I would have been a gangbanger, 100%. But yeah, it was super infrequent. It was super infrequent.
Was your dad
a gangbanger?
Yeah.
I mean, he used to tell me
all kinds.
Did he
dress like that?
No, but he had a certain image that he had to present at the club. I was his son, so it was always a joke, Mm-hmm. He knew everybody, so even if someone did say hey, what the hell is that kid, it was it's a joke, man. Relax. But he used to tell me all kinds of shit, but he's a the biggest liar I ever met in my life, so I have no idea what the hell he was doing. Maybe he was a gangbanger. I don't know. I know I found a gun in his desk a long
pistol.
Time ago. I found a gun loaded when I was in one of the VIP rooms. Why did I know it was loaded? Because he taught me how to check a gun. He said you gotta open the clip first, make sure there's not a bullet in there, and then you gotta open the magazine, see if there's bullets in there. So I did that. There were bullets in both.
he kept one in the chamber.
He broke both rules that he said never
he
have a bullet.
He was fucking ready. He was ready. Yeah.
So who
you
knows
don't ever have
doing.
One in the chamber, so you don't shoot me. But I'm gonna keep one in my chamber.
He broke both of his own rules. But yeah,
quite the opposite education you're getting back and forth.
It was wild, man. It was super contradictory.
Now, are you still close with your mom?
Oh yeah, yeah. I love my mom.
Do you close with your dad at all?
The last. Oh man, I mean, he's never gonna listen to this. But the last thing that my dad told me, because I finally confronted him about, he tried to come in when I was like old. I don't know, like 17, 18, and he was like, "All right, I'm gonna teach you how to be a man." And I was like, "What? No." And I finally confronted him
about
it.
You ain't gonna ruin my sommelier chances,
right? I'm like, he said, and so I finally confronted him. I was like, "Hey, man, like, you can't just like leave a family and then come back and." Like, it doesn't work like that. You know, I thought I knew everything. I was, like, 17. So I thought I was a super big brain kid. And the last thing that I ever remember my dad saying to me was, he said, "This ain't no Brady Bunch episode, bitch." Like,
to his kid.
To his kid. He said, "This is how real niggas grow up." That's what he said to me. And then he hung up the phone. And I haven't heard from that motherfucker since. That's the last thing he said.
That's the worst advice. You've never heard from him ever again.
I didn't even watch the Brady Bunch. I don't even know the reference.
Your mom's like, "We're watching Reba, okay?" Oh my God, that is hilarious.
So no, we're not super close.
All right, I got that. Yeah, that makes sense. That is terrible.
Oh shit. Yeah, it's funny, man. Like, growing up as a mixed kid, the other funny thing is that you always get told that you look like the mixed celebrities. And I was telling you before the show, nowadays, since I'm in the comedy world now, the only comedy ones that I got Trevor Noah once, which is like,
not even
nominally close. Mm-hmm. Like, not even a little bit. And then the other one was your stepson.
Which is that's absurd. That is absurd.
I don't look anything like your stepson.
First of all, I love that he's in comedy.
Yeah. I was looking at your Instagram, I was scrolling down your Instagram, and I saw a picture of you and him. And it's funny, because even growing up with a white mom, where everyone did say that, they're like, "Who's that?" And I'm like, "It's my mom." They're like, "Okay, like,
yeah.
Who is it?" Even with that and remembering that, I still to myself, I was like, "I wonder who that is in all his pictures." Like, I didn't even think that it could have been your son. And then someone said, they're like, "Is that any?" Like, these
hilarious.
No.
Yeah, this is why I knew about you in sports, because outside I said, "Yeah, my stepson's getting Patrick Mahomes a lot." And you're like, "Huh?" I was like, "Patrick Mahomes?" You're like, "What?" That like, doesn't even make sense to me.
Who is that person?
I said, well, he's last year. Lamar Jackson was NFL MVP this year. Last year was Mahomes, and then this year he won the Super Bowl, and I think he got the MVP as well. I might be wrong about that, but I think it was him. And he gets that a lot. He's getting it a lot right now. And, you know, he's got these long little curly hair to shit. He clowns his hair. He's clowning twist. My hair. He's got the little twist, you know, the in the twist. Front. That look like I make fun of him. I call him Patty Mahomes. But he, you know, those old wood, those wooden wind chimes, the spiral ones that spin. Those people have them hanging.
Okay.
These people will send us some. That's what his bangs look like. Those spiral wind chimes just hanging across here.
It's crazy though, because that's dope now. That's
funny
hot.
Because watching him, like, we could never find. Do spiral wooden wind chimes. Do that.
Spiral
wooden wind chimes. There it is. Right, comes right up. Those right there on the right. This one over here. Yeah. The fuck his bangs look like right there.
How's cause he mixed, so he got that soft hair. Yeah, that's so right.
When he was little, that his mom sense. Would comb his hair and he would scream like bloody murder would kill him. And then she'd look forever and finally found this stuff called mixed chicks. It's for mixed kids' hair. And that worked for him. So now he lives with his dad because same thing. His dad was like, all right, you know, like, come on out here. There's no. The real world is not Santa Monica, California, okay? And the real world is not going to be taught to you by a blonde white lady in Santa Monica, California.
Right.
So they do a great job working together, too, but he lives with his dad, and his dad's just, you know, teaching him what real life is like, you know? And he's learning quick. But now, like, he used to go from buzzed. He had a buzzed head, and then he's got it grown out. Now he shakes it all the time, and she likes to shake it wet on me. I'm like, stop doing that shit you did. We're sitting there driving. He's doing that. I'm like, stop. It's all over the dash and shit. I'm like, stop. What is that?
Yeah, I grew up with I had the braids. Everyone said I grew up looking like Lil Romeo, and they were 100% spot on. I looked exactly like Lil Romeo.
You did. You admit that one.
I did, yeah. That one was pretty true. If you look, oh, yeah, they're going to look at Lil Romeo. You're basically just going to find pictures of me. That was me when I was a kid. Well, that's his name.
There it is.
That's his name. There we go. That's exactly.
Hello, Annie.
I wish I prepped my picture, man, because if we put me next to him, you'd be like, that's just him in different clothes. Like, oh, that's a little Romeo at school.
There you are at Dublin's. Hit that one with the headband, Nadav.
That was me at Dublin's.
Look at you at Dublin's.
Just color
get this,
it.
Get this bitch a drink.
Color it blue. That's me right there.
Did you have a chain? Did you have a chain?
Absolutely, I had the chain. Of course I had the chain, man.
Look at little Annie up there, damn it. That's me. That is great.
That's me. That's what I look like. Unreal, man. And then I went back to South Orange County playing trombone and shit. Like,
yeah.
I played the trombone. I was in band. I played trombone. And I tried to, I remember I tried to wear some of that stuff to school, and everyone, it was embarrassing, man. I was one of those kids. I had the baggy ass pants that went all the way down to my fucking, all the way to the floor. That was me.
It's
group
been,
of white kids.
This is exactly. I watch him and growing up now. Now he's, you know, he's 16 like me. He knows everything. You know, we're there. We always wonder, like, what age is it when they just think they know everything, can't stand? You're like 15, 16. That's where it is.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Right about there.
So you're playing trombone. You do well in school. You say,
yeah, I was doing amazing.
Did you go to college?
No, I never went to college. Neither of my parents did, so we never talked about it. So I never went to college.
You had like straight A's?
I had straight A's until the thing about raising a kid in education, like, you know, making education your not only your number one, but your only priority is that I learned way too much, way too quick. So I was if you're going to do that, you could never let me know that you're not this god that like you present yourself as, right? Because it was either her or nothing. So I went to school, I would hear all these things, and I didn't believe it. I was like, you're all lying, you don't know me, my mom knows everything. The day that I found out that she could lie, and I don't remember when it was, but whatever that day was the switch. I went from 110, I'd be that kid where I had 109% at the end of the class. And then I would go in at the last day of school and ask my teacher, like, what can I do to bump it to 110? Like, can we just get it to a 5.0, you know? I was that kid. And then immediate switch where I realized that I could pass with C's. I didn't know that was a thing. I thought you had to get A's.
Right.
If you got B's, you're failing or you were going to take summer school. So my whole life switched around at that point. It was like, I mean, I always had like the business kind of mindset. Like when I was a kid, I used to sell crackers for like $5. No, what? $5. What am I saying? Like 50 cents. When
I was gonna say, who the fuck's buying $5 crackers? Crackers. Who's buying $5 crackers.
My mom used to send me to school with made lunches all the time. I never had the cafeteria stuff, so I always had good stuff. And then I found out real quick, like everyone used to say like, oh man, it smells so good. Or like that looks so good. And I found out that people wanted it. So I was like, well, I mean, I really want this thing, this candy over here at this cafeteria. So give me 50 cents and I'll give you this bag of chips that my mom gave me.
And I love like, that okay. hustle mentality. See, I never thought of the money aspect. I was always, I'll trade you this for those. You know, I didn't care about your money. I wanted your food. That's a big part of my problem in life. You know what I mean? Should have gone after the money instead of the sandwich. But I know a friend of mine, he did this in elementary school, this kid. He got, and it's so funny. He would go, he'd go through the cafeteria and get, you know, you buy your little, your milk, which your dad went out for and never came
back.
Right?
Yeah, he's still finding that milk.
It's a special milk.
One day.
But he would, and then he'd be at the lunch table and there were kids that wouldn't open their milk or drink it. And he would take it and he'd take it back and return it because it's still cold or whatever. And it's, and they would give him the money for it.
Like to the cafeteria lady.
Well, it started, he started doing it so much that they took a hit. They started noticing a dip in the drawer and had to put it together and had to call his parents in and say, listen, your son is reselling milk to us. And it is so noticeable that we had to address this. Like, we're taking a hit on this. It's got to stop. But he was hustling their milk back to him. I was like, God, I never even thought of anything like that.
That's the same thing that I did because, it, I mean, it quickly escalated. Obviously, I'm like, so I can get something that easy for something I don't even do? Hold on. Let me see where these crackers originate. Right? So then I went to the pantry. I mean, she put me with, you know, 15 crackers. I had like a pantry full of crackers and chips. I'm like, I could be making so much money. Right? So I would pack my own lunches. I'd be like, you know what, Mom? I got this. Like, I'll pack my lunch. She was like, really? Wow, you're growing up so fast. And I did. I put nothing, but I didn't pack myself food like sandwiches and stuff. Forget all that. I don't need to eat. So I just packed tons of chips of bags. And then I would literally go to school and I would just sell those bags to multiple people. And I ended up, the reason why I had to get, why they found out is because I made like, it was like $50 or something in, I don't know, a couple weeks or whatever it was. And so I just started splurging. Like I went to the cafeteria and I was like, I want that candy. I want that candy. I want this. I want that. And I had like the box of the candy. Usually you just get like the, you know, the little,
yeah,
the packages. I was like, I want the box of that one. How much is that? Like, how many would you say are in there? Those are like 50 cents a piece. There's probably like 60 in there. Let's call it two, you know, $20. Took the whole thing. And then they called my mom. They're like, there's something weird going on. He seems to have a little too much money on his hands. And so she came in, she busted me. It escalates like that. It's only escalated from there since. Like
I was going to say, did it carry on?
It's
what other criminal activity did it spawn?
Well, I mean, man, I talked about this friend that I had on Dr. Drew After Dark, and that same friend, I'm telling you, did all the rest of the criminal stuff that I'm going to say for the rest of this podcast. He's a terrible person. But, yeah, let me think of, okay, remember Blockbuster?
Yeah, I remember Blockbuster.
I think it started with Blockbuster because...
Let's call him Denny.
Denny, yeah. Denny was a real scumbag.
Denny's
man.
A real piece of shit.
And he used to... He used to rent Blockbuster games, and whenever he would like break some of his own games, he would just rent that game from Blockbuster, and then he would just put that game back. Because one day, I'm pretty sure what he did is he opened the box, and it was a broken game, and he was like, what the hell? So he called Blockbuster, like, oh, that's good, just return it, and then we'll give you another one. And he's like, that's it? Like, you don't have any questions about it? Like, no? Okay. So then next time a game would break, the game was broken. I got it like this. Let me just go return it. So tons of that. That moved to...
Did you ever get caught doing that?
No.
Or did they just stop it?
No.
I've never stopped either. Like you could have kept doing that. You probably helped put Blockbuster out of business.
Probably.
I mean, Denny. Probably. Denny.
That's right, Denny. That's right, Denny. Jeez, man. Carried away. Getting carried away. And that quickly escalated to Redbox. Redbox took over Blockbuster. Mm-hmm. And the thing about Redbox is that there's no people there. So it's kind of just like, let's see what you could do with the computer system. Well, Redbox kind of got popular right around like 2004, I'm going to say. Like, they came out in, like, 2002. But then, like, a couple of years when it really popped, so everyone was getting Red Bot, they started having games and stuff. And that was the same year, around the same time, that Visa gift cards became a thing. So you could buy, you could put $30 on a Visa gift card, and now that's a credit card. And Redbox only takes credit cards.
Ah.
So I would load, like, $31 Visa gift cards and then use that for the Redbox. So I'd rent that Redbox with the $1 Visa gift card, take the Redbox, and then never
and have that never Redbox.
Give it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, after the 30 days or whatever, they started charging that card, but there was only a dollar on it. And back then, they didn't know about all the pending charges. Nowadays, you can't do that because they'd have the pending charges and all right. that stuff. But back then, they didn't do that. So there was that. That went to, I mean, just the other day, actually, I ordered a mirror on Amazon, and the mirror came broken. It was broken. I opened it, and it was broken. Is that bad luck? If you open it and it's broken?
No, you didn't break it.
Because I didn't
break it. You didn't break it.
I hope not. But I opened it, and the mirror was broken, so I call Amazon. I'm like, what can we do about this? And they're like, oh, just we'll give you the refund. Just, you know, throw it away in your nearest. I'm like, you don't want it back? Like, I mean, I know you're not going to do anything with it, but, like, you know, just for your own. They're like, no, this is a what do they call it?
A write-off?
No, they said a non-returnable refund, a non-return refund, something mm-hmm. like that. They shouldn't have told me about that.
You trying to find shit that's non-return?
They shouldn't
There's
have told me
There's been a few things
that.
Where I'm like, I don't want this, and I try to send it back, and they're like, keep it.
Just keep
I'm
it.
Like, what?
Like, really?
It probably costs them more to have to deal with it.
Because, I mean, monitors and TVs could also break.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
they're going to want those. They're going to want those. They don't want shards of glass, but they're going to take a broken monitor. But let me know if they don't. But let me know if they don't.
Make that new studio look real nice.
Yeah, dude.
But yeah, it's funny, man, because it's such a contradiction. Like, I was the kid that I remember when I was a little kid, like, there was one time where I was like little, like, I mean, this must have been like first grade, maybe. I took my mom's hair to school. Like, she had like a piece of her hair that like fell off and like went on my shirt or whatever. And I took that to school because I was so attached. I was so like sheltered that to me was like I'm still okay because I got this or whatever. It was starting the beginning, you know, it was in the beginning. So it was like, I was still uncomfortable leaving the house and all that. So obviously I got like made fun of, and I ended up getting bullied. Some kid took it and like threw it in the garbage, and he's just like, what are you, like, you're stupid. And like, my dad was a buff dude, so he always taught me, like, he taught me how to put someone in a chokehold so hard that, you know, you don't have to hold that chokehold very long before they
right.
You don't need to do that anymore. So he taught me that stuff, and I'm telling you, the only thing that came to mind when that guy threw that piece of hair in the garbage was to just cry. That's all I did. I just cried. So even growing up with a dad like that, where, you know, he taught me all these things, tried to make me this super bad, you know, gangbanger ass, I cried. They called my mom. They were like, they're like, your son's being a fucking, like, pussy. You need to come pick him up, like, immediately. Like,
or give him some more hair. But either way, come address this shit.
That's how I grew up. So to get into that stuff now is weird, man. It's been a completely contradicting upbringing.
What did you find most difficult growing up about being mixed? What did you find most difficult? Because I know my Derek, his name's Derek, which is crazy to me because that's my fucking brother's name spelled the same way. Like, I can't shake that goddamn name. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a twin. I can't. That thing's been with me before I was even in the world. That name has been attached to me. But he loves to say now, he's like, that's because you're white. He loves to say that shit to us. That's because you're white. Okay, boomer. That's because you're white. He gives us that all the time. And I'm like, wait, you're half white, okay? And it always makes me laugh that mixed race is always the other race, not the white. You know what I mean? Like, oh, he's Asian American. So I now all I do is tell him he's half white. I'm embracing the white half of him now. Absolutely. He keeps calling me white. I'm like, you know what? You're half white. That's because you're half white. I keep telling him. Every time he does, this motherfucker calls me a boomer and said to me, he goes, you know, he's 16. He's 6'2 now, but he's lanky, but he's 6'2.
Damn, that's so tall.
Yeah, he's tall as shit.
How old is he?
He's 16.
Oh, my, 6'2
Yeah, he's
16?
Big, yeah, and he's growing. I think he's going to be I wouldn't be surprised if he hits 6'4". But
damn, that's tall.
He's tall. And I remember he's feeling himself right now, and he's like, okay, but he's all hit me with this boomer shit nonstop, and he goes, I'll tell you what, why don't we get some boxing gloves? And right away, I was like, oh, I'm salivating. Like, yeah. He goes,
you don't want to do this,
he goes,
son.
We'll get headgear. I go, headgear? I go, okay, boomer. I'm sitting there going, you want to fight? I'm doing those old posters. Like, you going to fight me? You going to fight me? I said, get the fuck out of here with that pussy shit. If you want to put some gloves on, we're putting some gloves on. I'll let you go bare knuckle if you want, but we're not wearing any fucking headgear. Mm-mm. You want to come at me, come at me. But please, it was his idea. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that with you right now.
I feel like a lot of boys reach that age, you know, where they're like, I feel like I could take. That was the thing about my dad. You could be, I'm now, I couldn't take
it. I was going to say, yeah, like, you ain't taking his
ass. My dad was, but he looked like The Rock. That's what my dad looked like. And I'm not playing. Like, that's exactly what he looked like. But I guess my biggest struggle with, it wasn't even with being mixed. My biggest struggle growing up was because my house was a completely, entirely sexless house. And when I say, like, most parents don't want to discuss that, right? They don't want to talk about it. So it's like, it's not really, it's a taboo topic, but it's a topic. You know, in my house, it was like, it did not exist whatsoever.
And your mom didn't date or bring other guys around in front of you or any of that?
No, she, when she had me, I was the world, I was everything, which sounds good on paper, but what that means is that she's the only thing that I know too, because sure. It's like, it's that shared, you know, I can't do anything else. So, and my example of the difference is like, you know, when you were a kid and maybe a sex scene would come on and your parents would be like, cover your eyes, you know, like whatever, and you could like peek through. It wasn't like that. Like for me, when a sex scene would come on, that movie was over. I never knew what happened to the rest of that movie.
6 minute short film.
There's so many movies that I just never finished the end to. I just don't know. It doesn't
Basic
happen.
Instinct ended right when she crossed her legs, right?
Yeah, that's funny.
That's when that movie ended.
I was going to say, I'll never know what happens at the end of Basic Instinct.
You could probably get a DVD at Redbox for $1 and figure it out.
I'm going to be an email from Redbox.
That's funny because I remember we were looking for anything to laugh at. But after this always sticks out. I don't know why it makes me laugh. But after my dad died, his mom, my grandma, came to live with us for a few months. And there was my little brother put something on HBO, and it was, I walk in, and my grandma's sitting there doing something on the couch, and he's just looking at me laughing. It's, you know, I don't remember what movie it was. Somebody's fucking. Mm-hmm. And he's just looking at me, and he's 13, I'm 16. I'm just like, are you? And I was like, I'm going to stand here for this. And my grandma's looking at the TV, and so she's squinting, and she goes, is that two foxes? And I almost pissed myself. I'm like, what the fuck are you? And then it was instant answer. She's like, is that two foxes? Oh, my God. Dude, I laughed. I was on this ground. My stomach was ripping open. I'm like, two fucking foxes? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
When I remember one of the funniest times of growing up and that sexlessness really hitting was when me and my mom were going to Big Bear or some type of mountains. And on the way, I was like, I want to see if I could listen to my music. Like, just once, you know? Like, it's such a long trip, and we've been listening to, like, I can only listen to Shania Twain so many times. Like, I want to hear my shit. And so we had the CD changer in the car, so it was like, I turned it to CD4, and it did this little thing, and it put the CD on. And it was Ludacris. It was Ludacris. Chicken and Beer was the album, and in that album was the song Splash Waterfalls. Have you ever heard the song Splash Waterfalls? So I was used to the clean version because that's all we would only listen to the radio. So what I thought it started much differently. But just for clarity, it goes in the very beginning. It's nice, and it's got like this kind of melodic intro, and then it's like, doom, doom, oh, doom, 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 oh. And then the girl says, make love to me. And then right there, I didn't even know what that meant, first of all, at that point. I heard her, she's like, you know, like, here we, and so then it keeps going. It's, oh, oh, what? And then she says, fuck me and my mom. I don't know how it was possible. You know, remember how when you have to put the CD in the slot?
Yeah, yeah.
You couldn't take. I swear, somehow she, in all one movement, took the CD out, didn't even push the eject button, and
pulled it right out,
right out the window, smashed it into it like 1,000 pieces, and we were just silent for the rest of that.
So uncomfortable.
The rest of the trip.
The
was just,
trip. You're on your way there.
I'm sorry, Mom.
Oh, God. That'd have been great. Some Two Live Crew came on or some shit. Pop that pussy. Pop. Oh, my God. Oh. Like, hell.
She would have threw me out the window.
Oh, shit.
But that was it, man. So yeah. So, growing up, it was like, it was nothing but confusion with all the sex stuff. Like, kids used to do this in school, like, say some shit, like, oh, you're dumb. Blah. I was like, what does that mean? I don't understand. I had to like look that up, figure out what everything meant in like Webster's dictionary and shit. Like, I never actually knew anything. And I think the biggest way.
How old are you though? Right now you're what, 30?
I mean, by the time. Oh, right now.
Yeah, right now. How old are you?
29.
29. Okay. Yeah. So you had Google and shit though. She couldn't, or did you not? She would block that and stuff too. You couldn't get on the internet.
Sure.
Oh,
for sure. Parental blocks were crazy in the house.
Really?
I mean, I ended up figuring out how to hack that, but you know, but even then, Google wasn't what it is now. You couldn't look up that stuff and find like a good, you know, like it wasn't like that. So, yeah, but the biggest way that screwed me was the first girl I ever had sex with was man.
How old were you?
I think I was 15, 16. And she came from out of state. I met her online. And
for real?
Yeah.
God,
I met her.
Damn.
Well, I used to be a gamer, so I met her on, we were playing like a game at the same time.
How old was she?
I think same age.
Okay.
I think the same age.
And she drove here?
Right. That is a little weird being that young, but her family was rich, so she had anything she wanted. So she made the excuse that she wanted to come out and look at college campuses in California, because she's like, yeah, okay, I heard UCI and USC are all these great campuses. We'll go check those out, which we did. We drove right past them. We're like, look, there's USC. And then
her family came with her, though?
No. She came by herself. She had a
from where?
Arizona.
Damn.
Ooh, I shouldn't have said that.
She flew okay. out?
No, she drove.
Damn.
She drove. Yeah.
Okay.
But
she couldn't have fly. Can you fly it? What age can you fly without? Does it have to, you can fly at 16, can't you? Or does it have to be 18? What is it? Huh? But I mean without parental permission. Oh.
You know what? Forget this story. Speaking of planes. I got a story.
What happened to the girl coming out?
All right.
You're going to blue balls us? You're
all right, all right.
Plane story.
I'll make a long story super
this
short.
This is your virginity we're talking about. You're going to jump off of it?
Let me tell you, like a lot of other people's, it wasn't the best.
Yeah, right.
Sexual
no,
experience,
but who's
but
it? Yeah.
It wasn't very explosive. But what did happen was she took a 2-week trip. So it was 2 weeks. First of all, that's the first time I learned what catfishing was. She did not look like. Mm-mm. She
I
was like
you.
Maybe like a 7'8", at least to me, like in my personal. Whatever my preferences, she was like a 2 when she got out of that car, man. I gave an audible like, oh, it was one of those, you know. And I had 2 weeks where it was like I'm stuck. I mean, what am I gonna say? Like go home, you know?
Right.
Nothing I could do. So it was 2 weeks. We did the thing, and you know, it ended up happening. And then so the 2 weeks.
Where'd you do it? Where'd like, you have sex? How'd you get
it
away?
In
it
the
couldn't
back
be at mom's house.
No, it was in the back. Well, we went, we took road trips. So, again, she was claiming we're going to go see college campuses. So, we went from where I lived in South Orange County all the way up to like Central California and then back down. And we just stopped along the way at hotels and whatever. Like I said, she was rich, so yeah. She could just stay at hotel, 5-star hotels, like it was nothing. And then, yeah, one we went on a camping trip. And, oh, God, I should not be this, being this specific, but it's okay. We went on a camping trip, and she kind of snuck in the back. I don't know if you know this. Black people don't like camping. I was like, why are you taking me? Fuck camping, bro. Like, I'm asleep in the car. This is ridiculous. So I slept in the back of the truck, and then she kind of sneaked in there in the middle of the night, and, you know, one thing led to another. But it was nothing more I could even tell you than that, because it was like, it was whatever. So, because I didn't, she wanted it way more than I did. So it's nothing that I even wanted to remember. But afterwards, I called her. The important part to this story is that afterwards I called her and I asked her, first of all, I was like, this is done. Like, sorry, you know, I wanted to at least give you the 2 weeks, but we can't do it. And she was like, I get it. Like, I knew. I just, you know, thanks for not ditching me or whatever. I'm like, yeah, it's whatever. But let me ask you a question though. Like, I mean, I gotta know. Like, what'd you think? Like, how was I? You know, and not just how did I do, but also, I mean, I'm a black kid growing up here and nothing but like black dudes got the biggest dicks, you know. So I'm like, how was it? And she said, I'm not gonna lie, I expected more.
Were you like, I'm only half black?
And I had a baby dick, bro.
She said that?
No.
I was going to say that one. No. I would never recall.
No. But I went.
Oh, my God.
I went for so long feeling that I had this baby dick. That I was never gonna recover from that. That's all kids would talk about in school. I got a fat dick. But my fucking email in school was bigpenis5000 at yahoo.com. 5000 at yahoo.com. So to hear that news, I was like, I have to change my email. I'm a fraud. What am I gonna do?
Oh my God.
It was a tragedy for me.
That is a tragedy.
My whole life changed. The good news. And I want to make sure to get this in.
Yeah, please.
Because
you do not want to just leave it on baby dick.
The good news is I had all that. I had all that, you know, depression and all that up until my next girlfriend. Every girl in between then, we wouldn't get to that point because I would always be so insecure, and I'd constantly tell them like, hey, just to let you know, I got a fucking baby dick. Like, maybe you don't want to fuck with that, you know. I want to let you know, it's just not a good look. Even if you did, it's not a good look to be like, hey, just so you know, like, I'm the worst. So like, if you want to keep doing this though, let's keep going. Never worked until this one girl. She was just, I mean, I dated this girl for a long time, and when we finally had sex, she said, like, afterwards, she was like, didn't you say something about, like, you were going off about having this tiny fucking, like, what are you talking about? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, don't get me wrong, I know it's not like a micro, but I have got like a fucking baby dick, right? Like, I mean, I'm black. And she's like, dude, you have a big dick. What are you talking about? I'm like, really? Like, it's good? And she was like, what's wrong with you? I called that girl. I called my first ex.
You called her?
I called her. Because, Ryan,
did you reinstate that email account too?
Oh, best believe. BigPenis5000.
BigPenis6000, motherfucker.
6000. I called her. Because, I mean,
Real quick. The girl who you dated for a long time,
yeah.
What race?
Indian.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just curious, because this is a white girl you're talking about. Correct. From Arizona, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did I say she was white? Or did you just assume because she was in Arizona? You just assumed, huh?
Did I assume?
I think you assumed.
Probably.
You were right. You were 100% right.
There's not much more in Arizona.
It's harder to be whiter than my mom, but she did it. She did it. But so I called her, and I told her, I'm like, do you understand first of all, before I ask you the question I'm going to ask you, I'm like, do you know what it means to tell a dude that his dick is too small? Like, do you know what that did? And she was like, yeah, I kind of had an idea. And I was like, okay, just tell me what you expected so that I know now and I can understand why you even said that.
And how much time has passed since you were with this girl that said that?
Like 3 years.
Years.
Like 3 years. And I still had that number. Still had that number.
Yeah.
And I called her and she said, when I asked her, I'm like, what did you expect then? Because it turns out you're wrong. All right. So what did you expect? And she just said, I don't know. I was just like, I just wanted to make you like, I wanted you to feel something because it bothered me so much that you didn't like care about what was going on. So I just wanted you to feel something. That's it. I'm like, do you know the downs that you put me like the
I'm dumps. Baby Dick 500 on AOL.com for the last 3 years.
My email, girl. Like, I went for so long with this small dick energy, having a fine dick. Like, it's
my dick's fine. It's fine.
It was. That was the first girl that I ever had sex with. That was that. And that's how I was growing up because of that. I had like, you know, I was,
and you can't
I was
go talk to your
everything.
Mom about it, obviously.
Hell no. Oh my God. No way. And there were just tons of things in between that ruined that too. Like, have you ever heard of the amusement park Adventure City?
Mm-mm.
You shouldn't, because it's
where
it's
is
known
that?
What it's known for. Well, the one that I went to closed down. It was much smaller. But the one now, I think it's open in Anaheim, and it's still considered one of the smallest amusement parks in the state of California. I think in the country. It's a really small amusement park, and it's just for like, it's like a family
mm-hmm.
park, you know? Anyway, so that was my world as a kid. I grew up thinking that it was this thing. I had a shirt, and I used to wear it so proud. Like, kids used to ask me if I went to Disneyland, and I was like, nah, but have you been to Adventure City? And everyone would say no, and I'm just like, you ain't been to shit then. Like, you don't even know what you're talking about. And then I found out, growing up, of course, the truth, that it was nowhere near as big as I thought. We went back. I grew up in Hacienda Heights, so we went around that area. And so I Googled it, Adventure City. I'm like, I just want to go see it. Like, let's just go see. And then I go, and I find it. First of all, it's closed down, and it's like the size of a big backyard. It's tiny. It's this tiny little thing. And
doesn't
that
blow you away that everything seems so much bigger when you're a kid and you go back and look and it's
exactly
little shit. Yeah.
Exactly. So if you could imagine me accidentally walking into the bathroom and seeing my dad's penis when I was a kid.
You did that?
It was the same thing. To me, it was the whole world. I never realized that it
so
was.
So are you telling me that Adventure City is the baby dick of amusement parks?
It's the baby dick of amusement parks. I'm saying that there's so,
is that what you're telling
there's
me?
So many things that led into me thinking,
sure.
Just thinking before she said that I had a baby dick, that I had a baby dick. And that was one of the top ones.
Right.
I was like, if there's no way. I mean, every boy, as soon as they understand that you can measure, every boy, from the asshole to your tip of the dick, you measure that.
Okay, that's all in you, right?
All the way. All the way.
Yeah.
And so to see that when I was a kid, because I was a kid, I just accidentally walked in the bathroom, you know? So it was like, to have that image just burned where it's like, I'm never going to achieve that for sure. I just already had that. And then I remember I saw some statistic that the average male size penis, average size penis was 15 centimeters.
What is that? How many inches is
exactly
that?
I didn't know when I was, all I knew is 15 was nowhere near the number that I measured. So I'm like, well, fuck, all right? My dad's got a monster dick. The average penis size is double mine. And now this girl says I got a baby dick. Like, it's over. My life is over. But 15 centimeters is like, it's like six. It's like 6 inches. Didn't know that. Didn't know that. Found it out much later. Like, I found everything out later
right.
about that stuff. But But yeah, that all led to so many years of being afraid of everything, not taking risks, and again, that the criminal mind is what turned all that around.
Well, speaking of criminal mind, off mic we were talking, and you said that you're currently something in a criminal way. You're currently a suspect? A what? What was the word you used?
All he told me.
Who's he?
Are you allowed
to talk about this?
One of the managers at TSA.
Oh, this is a TSA thing?
Mm-hmm. That's the Transportation Security Administration.
Everything at the airport and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What happened?
Well, I'm known. All he told me was that I'm on a list. And if I go to the airport of Sacramento, it's probably not going to be a fun time. Like,
where are you when you're hearing this information?
I was back.
Traveling somewhere?
I was back home. Well, no. So, okay. I had a business meeting with, I used to do regulations and stuff. It was like data entry, but we used to work with the DMV. So we had to go meet the DMV in Sacramento. Their headquarters is in Sacramento. So we went and met with the DMV. We were talking about this new system we were going to put in place. And it was just me and my boss. We leave, we go back home. And I mean, my whole life I've dealt with the cops versus racism, all that shit. So I was used to that vibe. So when I got stopped in the middle of the security line and the guy said, "Do you mind? This is a random, like, we're going to check your bag." I was like, cool, random. I get it. I was, stress-free. And my boss, he was in the pre-check. What do they call that? The pre-check line?
Pre-check, TSA pre-check.
So he was in the pre-check line. So he was already done. He was just, like, waiting. And he says, the security guard, he says, "Are there any sharp items, utensils, anything that I'm going to hurt myself with in this bag?" And I'm like, "No. Like, can we just get this over with?" I'm being like kind of a dick almost. I'm just like, "Let's just get this done with. All right, I have places to be." And he takes his hand. He puts his hand in my bag with the glove on, and he takes his hand out, and my boss's face and my face jaw to the floor because he took out a gun.
What?
A gun.
You forgot it was in there?
I forgot that it was in there. No. Let me rephrase that. I didn't know it was in there, and I never fly, so all I took was, like, a toothbrush, toothpaste, and, like, a couple shirts. Threw it in the bag.
And you didn't think the weight of the bag didn't equal t-shirts and toothpaste?
Well, the reason why I'm not in prison right now is because... They brought me to the room.
So he pulls a gun out. What happens then? Does he call people over?
So everyone is in shock. Everyone's looking at me. I'm like, I know you hear this all the time. I don't know what that is. I swear, like, someone is setting me up. I'm looking around, like, are there cameras? Like, is someone filming this as a joke? And I'm trying to think, did I say something wrong at the DMV meeting? Did they slip a gun into my bag?
Slip a gun.
What could have happened? What possibly could have happened? And because, again, I went through John Wayne Airport to get
there.
How
hilarious would have been if there was a little note from your dad in there that said, "This is how real motherfuckers get down."
Don't be a Brady Bunch, nigga. Don't be a Brady
Bunch.
This ain't
no Brady Bunch episode.
God, man. So they take me into that room, and it's exactly how you'd imagine that room looks. It's the interrogation room with the metal desk and the green kind of hued light on top. And they asked me...
And how many people will come over and take you in at this point?
Well, it was only like maybe three or four. First of all, they were big
I mean, look,
dudes.
Man, I've had them pull me through before for baby wipes. And they, "Hey, come here. And they call people over for baby wipes. Are they calling people over for a gun, or is homeboy just setting it down and can tell you're really fucking scared? And he's like, "All right, let's go over here and talk."
Well,
nobody tackled you? I feel like that would be a tackling offense.
Because I didn't act all my dickishness that was like, shit, that all went away. I was right back to baby dick mode. And they just brought a couple guys, and they're just, they took me in the arm. They're like, "Let's walk this way," So we walk, and then I had to tell, like, 11 different security guards the story. And the story is super simple. I was with a girl, and her brother needed a fake... Oh, I'm sorry. I should point this out. they put all my stuff on the table, my ID and my ticket and the gun right there. And then I saw the orange tip. Like, the whole thing was spray painted black, so you could barely see the orange tip. Yeah. But then I saw, like, the pieces, and I was like, I know what this is. Like, I know what happened. Let me explain it. And he's like, yeah, you better. Like, let's start hearing stuff. So I explained to him the story. And the story is that the girl I was seeing, her brother, he was doing a crime and punishment video for school. So he needed a fake gun. So I bought an airsoft gun. He wasn't 18, so I had to go buy the airsoft gun, spray painted it black, gave it to him. And then because he didn't want his mom to find it, he put it in my bag. I didn't use that bag for years. So as soon as I needed to go to the airport, that was like one of the biggest bags I had. So I threw stuff in it, took it, left. And I had to tell them that story like 13 different times. And then they finally, they let me go. I went there, you know, no search or anything like that. But
How long were you in there? I mean, you missed your flight and shit, right?
I definitely missed. Yeah, yeah. We had to take a different flight. Yeah, my boss, I mean, he was laughing. He thought the whole thing was hilarious. I mean, he was scared when he saw the gun, but as soon as he heard my story, he's like, right. You fucking idiot. Like, and he was a dick, too. He called my mom, and he was like, look, they took him in a room. I don't know what's going on. All I know is that they found a gun in his bag. And she was like,
I'll bet. Oh, my God.
My sheltered son!
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine? Her little angel. He was a complete dick in that. She probably threw up. Who knows? But, yeah, he told me I was super lucky, though, because if it had been loaded with, like, even one pellet, one airsoft pellet, that would then be a different tier of, like, what you're not supposed to bring on board. There's the shampoo and all that. There's this. There's that. There's a gun. And then there's a loaded gun and you know, so on and so forth.
I would shit myself.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, because I don't ever shit. That's something that we talk about a lot here on Lion Mitch. But,
I want to say real quick, too, because this happened to us, not in an airport, but in high school we had to do, I want to say, I don't remember what class it was, but we had to do, and my friend and I just talked about this like a couple weeks ago, we had to do this gang video.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's all white kids are doing this stupid gang video, but We went down to Baltimore City. My aunt lived in Highland Town, and there were train tracks right back by all these row homes. So we thought, we'll go over there. We'll do this little gang video. We all had the little BB guns and shit. And if you call in Baltimore City and say, there's some people out front, they're disturbing, nobody's coming. You call and say, these people out front have a gun, they're fucking coming.
Yep.
That's the only way to get them there. You get a lie. Was it a comb? I look like a gun from here. I just want them out of here. But they called the police, and they pulled up, and we were like, oh, my God. You know, and they're like, what's going on? And we had to explain it all. I was like, we got this project in class. We go to school out here. This is our teacher. You know, we're just but, man, they were there. All right. And they got the fuck out of there. But I'm seeing them pull up because they pull up aggressively. You know what I mean? They're not creeping up. They're like,
because they don't know.
Right here, yeah.
Because
and we were out in the open, you know, doing this. We never even thought. Somebody might think these are real guns.
Right.
Yeah, that's scary shit.
Yeah. And so I did the same thing, except as a black kid in an airport. It was it was bad, man. It was bad. But
they were like, look, if you'd have had one more airsoft pellet and been all the way black, it's another tier. Okay? It's another tier. You're lucky you're half white. Okay?
Let me ask you a question, man. What's the other half? You're obviously not full.
Who's Patrick Mahomes? You're like, I don't know.
That would have been fun.
All right, take him. Take
that would have been it. That would have been it. Book them.
Book them.
But yeah, I got lucky on that. But that was that's where the one of the times where, I mean, my criminal mindset got me in a lot of things that I didn't get in trouble for. That was one of the many times that I got in trouble for things that I didn't do.
And did that switch back?
What do you mean?
Did that stop you from wanting to keep pursuing criminal element shit? Like, does a lesson, does a scare like that scare you straight, or are you just like, nah, I'm still gonna see if Amazon will return these monitors? Yeah,
they shouldn't have told me that there's such thing as a returnless refund. Let's just say that.
Dude, this has been an awesome fucking episode, man. You were fantastic. I know you said before you were the Dov compartmentalized. Like, I was like, you're going to be fine. This was great, dude. Thank you so much for coming on. For real. This was fantastic.
It was super fun.
It was a lot of fun.
I'm glad.
I appreciate you letting me laugh at your trauma. please, again, anything you want to promote, plug it away. 16-year-old self. What would you say to your 16-year-old self? You're not a returning guest. Let me ask you. Thank you. What advice would you give to your 16-year-old? Your 16-year-old self. You had a different upbringing than a lot of people.
Right. I'd probably say, listen, man, like a lot of people, they're going to come at you. They're going to feed you lies. They're going to tell you things. But the average male size penis is 6 inches, man. You're okay. Everything's going to be okay.
Don't be listening to no white twos from Arizona, okay?
No. It's okay, man.
All right, man. Thank you so much. Please plug whatever you'd like.
The only thing that I'm doing right now, I'm doing the same. Me, Josh Potter, and Adav, we're all doing Twitch now. So I'm on twitch.tv/AnnyKravitz. It's ENNY. KRAVITZ, just like Lenny Kravitz without the L. And I'm the same on Instagram. Lenny Kravitz. All right, man.
Thank you so much. Right at the end of this episode, click subscribe to get over to my new YouTube. Make sure you're signed up over there. As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.